Parshas Vayischa. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber al Aharon, speak to Aharon, ve'omarto elov, and you shall say to him, Beha'aloischa es haneros, when you light the lamps of the menorah, el mu pnei ha-menorah, towards and facing the middle branch of the menorah, yo'iru shivas haneros, shall all seven lamps be lit. Which means, the three branches on the right side, and the three branches of the left side, the wicks of these branches shall be tilted towards the middle shaft of the menorah. This way, nobody will say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the menorah for light. Because if the purpose of the menorah was to give light to the Mishkan, then the wicks would have been spread out, tilting in different directions to give light to different parts of the Mishkan. Now that these lights are all facing one direction, the three right ones and the three left ones are all facing the middle one, so we have seven lamps all giving light in one direction. That shows that Hashem does not need the light, because this is not the best way to give light to the Mishkan. What we need to understand is why we need this Sivui, this commandment, if there seems to be a very similar commandment in Parshas Truma, Perik Chafei, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, where over there it says, Vehelo es neriseho veheir el ever poneho. You should bring up its lamps and cause it to light to the middle shaft. It seems to be the same tzivur, the same commandment as we have over here. What is the reason why it has to say it twice? The obvious answer to this is that in Parshas Truma it is discussing how to make the menorah, the maaseh ha-menorah. And over here it is talking about how to light the menorah, the hadlokas haneris. Because over there, when discussing all the different parts of the Mishkan, it also discusses how to make the menorah. So the Pasuk is telling you, when you make the menorah, you should make the neros, you should make the lamps, in a way that you will be able to pull the wicks facing toward the middle shaft. How do you do that? By making a small indentation, a small lip, in each one of the three right and the three left lamps. This way, it will be able to be pulled into this indentation and face towards the middle shaft. Over here in Parshas Vayischa, it is discussing the lighting of the menorah. And the Pasuk over here is telling us, when you light the menorah, make sure to pull the wicks into these indentations in the lamps. This way, the wicks will all point their light towards the middle kana, the middle branch of the menorah. So over there it is talking about how to make the neros, and here it is telling us how to light it. The Ayin in the Brisker Rav, who seems to say a similar pshat in this Pasuk. And the Pasuk continues, Vayas Kena Haran, and Aaron did so. El mul pnei ha-menorah, towards the face of the menorah. Helo neriseho, he lit the lamps. Kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe, just like Hashem commanded Moshe. And Rashi says, Lahagit shivocho shel Aharon shloshina, to tell you the praise of Aharon, that he did not deviate from Hashem's commandment. And all the Mefarshim ask, do we need a Pasuk to tell us that Aharon listened to Hashem? Isn't it obvious that Aharon would listen to Hashem? Some Mefarshim learn that the Pasuk is telling us that although this seems like a menial task, to be busy with ashes and oil of the Neros, to clean it out and to light it, you might think that this task Aaron delegated to somebody else. Kamash Malon, the Pasuk teaches us that this was not so, that Aaron himself did this avodah of lighting and cleaning the Neros. Lahagit shvocha shel Aharon shloshina, this tells us that Aaron did not deviate by giving it to somebody else. The Sfas Emes learns that the Pasuk is teaching us that Aaron did not deviate from his initial fervor in carrying out this mitzvah. It never became a matter of routine with him. Because sometimes, when somebody does a mitzvah for a long time, his initial excitement for the mitzvah diminishes over time. The Pasuk is telling us, L'hagit shvocha shel Aharon, to tell you the praise of Aharon sheloshino, that his initial excitement for the mitzvah never changed, and even many years later when he did this mitzvah, he did it with the same excitement that he did it the first time he did this mitzvah. And the Pasuk continues, Vizeh ma'aseh ha-menorah, and this is the workmanship of the menorah. And Rashi tells us that whenever the word Zeh is used, something is being pointed at. Zeh, we are pointing at this specific thing. And Rashi tells us that since Moshe had difficulty understanding how to make the menorah, Hashem showed him a menorah shel esh, a fiery menorah. And he pointed at this menorah shel esh and said, this is the way the menorah should look. Vizeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. This, which I am pointing at, is the workmanship of the menorah. Miksha zov, it should be made, chiseled out of a piece of gold. You should take one piece of gold and chisel out the menorah from this piece of gold, not making it from many different pieces which are attached. but rather from one piece which was chiseled out. Adirecha ad pircha mikshahi. Not only was the yerech, the base of the menorah, which was a large segment, made of one piece, but even ad pircha, even the flower ornament of the menorah, which was delicate handiwork, that was also made of one piece. It was not added on later. Mikshahi, it was all made of one piece. Kamara asher hera Hashem es Moshe, like the form that Hashem showed Moshe how to make the menorah. Kain osa sa menorah, so he made the menorah. Who is he? So Rashi brings down two pshatim. One pshat is Bezalel. Another pshat is that even after Hashem showed Moshe the menorah shel Eish, Moshe still could not understand how to make the menorah, and therefore he told Moshe to throw this piece of gold into the fire, and the menorah came out by itself. Kain also as HaMenorah is referring to, so Hashem made the menorah. Zok Rashi Pasuk Beis, V'haloischa. Lo manitzmecha, Parshas HaMenorah, LeParshas HaNasiim, why did the Torah place adjacent the Parsha of the menorah over here in Parshas Baloischa, and the Parsha of the Nasiim, which Parshas Nasei ends off with the Parsha of the Nasiim, the Karbonis, which the Nasiim brought for the inauguration of the Mishkan, Lefisha Keshira, Aaron Chanukas HaNasiim, because when Aaron saw the Karbonis, which the Nasiim brought for the inauguration of the Mishkan, Chol She'oz Daitai, he felt bad, Kishaloi Hoyo Imohem, when he was not with them, Bechanukah, in this inauguration, Lohu V'loi Shiftoi, not him and not his whole Shevet Levi. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem answered him, Chayecha, I swear by your life, Shelecha Gedoilu Mishalohem, what you will do will be greater than what they did. She'ato Madlik U'meitev Es HaNeros, because you will light and clean the Neros. So Rashi tells us that Parshas Nosai ends off with what Aaron saw. He saw the Chanukas HaNasiim, and he felt bad that he was not with them in these Karbonos. And Parshas Baloischa starts off with Hashem's answer to Aharon, don't feel bad because you have the Neros, which is greater than the Karbonos of the Nasiim. The Ramban asks two kashas on this Medrash. First of all, he asks, why did Hashem console Aharon by saying that he will be the one to light the Neros? Wouldn't it have been a greater consolation to tell him that he is the one that will bring the Ketores, which was the greatest of all the Avodos? You are the one, Aharon, that will do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, which is the greatest Avodah. So why does he console him with the mitzvah of the Neros? Second of all, we have to understand why Aharon felt bad in the first place that he was not part of this inauguration. Didn't Aharon have his own inauguration, the Shiva Shemei HaMiluim, which took place from Chaf Gimel Adar until Rosh Chodesh Nisan? And even on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Yom Shmini LeMiluim was an inauguration for Aharon, and he brought Karbonos. So why did he feel bad that he was not part of the Karbonos of the Nasiim? And the Ramban says that maybe you will want to answer that there is a difference between Aaron's Karbonos and the Nasiim's Karbonos. Because Aaron's Karbonos during the Shivas Shmei HaMiluim and Yom Shmini LeMiluim were obligatory. They were Chayva. However, the Karbonos of the Nasiim were Nedava, voluntary Karbonos. And Aaron was jealous that he was not part of this voluntary Karbonos that were brought in the beginning of the inauguration of the Mishkan. If that's the case, what did Hashem answer Aharon that he will be the one who will light the Neros? The Neros were also chayva, an obligation. So if he was jealous that he was not part of voluntary Karbonos, why are you answering him that he will light the Neros, which is also an obligation? Therefore, the Ramban answers that when the Medrash says, Shelecha gedoilu mishelohem, yours is greater than theirs, She'ato madlik u'meitev es haneros, you will be the one to light the menorah. It is not referring to the lighting of the menorah in the Mishkan, but rather it is referring to the lighting of the menorah during the time of Bayis Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, when the Yevonim, the Greeks, will attack the Beis HaMikdash and defile the Beis HaMikdash. And your great-great-grandchildren, the Bnei Chashmonaim, will come and they will fight the wars against the Yevonim, against the Greeks, and be victorious with great miracles over them. And at that time, they will light the menorah and re-inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash, which was defiled by the Yevonim, the Greeks. And this is why, Shelecha gedoilu mishelohem, yours is greater than theirs. Because the Nasiim brought Karbonos to inaugurate the Mishkan, and you will light the menorah to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash during Bayis Sheni. And this inauguration will be remembered for many, many years, even after the Churban. Because even today, we light the Neros of Chanukah to remember the great Nisim, which occurred to the Bnei Aharon, the Bnei Chashmonaim. Zok Rashi Bahaloischa. Rashi is bothered why the Pasuk uses the expression Bahaloischa when you will bring up, as opposed to Bahadlakoscha when you will light. And Rashi says, Al Shem Shehalav Oile, since the flame goes up, Kosov Bahadla Koson, the Torah writes, when referring to their lighting, Loshen Aliyah, an expression of bringing up. Shetzorach Lahadlik Ad Shetehe Shalheves Oile Me'eleho. One must light the menorah until the flame comes up by itself. When you place the fire to the wick, you must leave the fire by the wick long enough that the flame will come up by itself and it is not still flickering. But the truth is that this drasha we can really learn out from the pasuk in Parashas Tetzaveh, because in the beginning of Parashas Tetzaveh, the pasuk says leha'alois ner tamid, to bring up the ner tamid, and Rashi over there says the reason why it says leha'alois and not lahadlik is to teach us that you have to light it at shetehei shalheves oile me'eleho. So actually, this drasha was learned out from the pasuk in Parashas Tetzaveh. Therefore, Rashi brings down a second pshat that we need this pasuk of beha'aloischa to teach us something else. The oy darshu Rabbi Seinu, and our chachamim darshin mikan from here, shemala hoisel lefnei ha-menorah, that there were steps before the menorah, she'aleho ha-koyin oymiru meitiv, which on these steps the koyin would stand and clean out the neiros. The reason why it says ba'aloischa when you will go up is because you went up the steps in order to clean the neiros. And although Rashi says shema'ala hoisa there was a step, actually there were three steps that were before the menorah. And the Mefarshim all ask, why did they need these steps? The typical person was 4 amas tall, which is 24 tefachim, and the menorah was 18 tefachim tall. So why would a person who is 24 tefachim tall need to go on the steps to light the menorah, which was only 18 tefachim tall? The Taz in Sefer Divrei David answers that really these steps were only used by the short kahanim, but a kohen who was tall enough did not use these steps. The Gur Aryeh and the Nachlas Yaakov answer differently, and they are medayik a diak in Rashi, because Rashi says that the purpose of these steps were she'oleho hakohen oimid umetiv, on these steps the kohen would stand umetiv and clean out the neiros. Why doesn't Rashi say she'oleho hakohen oimid lahadlik, then on these steps the kohen would stand and light the menorah? The answer is because to light the menorah he did not need these steps, he was tall enough. However, in order to be metiv, to clean out the cups of the menorah, there one must go much deeper into the cup, so you have to be much higher. So lehetiv, they needed to stand on the steps in order to clean it out. A third teretz is given by the Panim Yafos the Haflo, and he says that the stairs were needed for the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to lift his hand above the tzitz, the golden plate that was on his forehead. And since he could not lift his hand above the tzitz, therefore he needed to stand on the steps in order to light the menorah, because if he would stand on the floor, he would have to lift his hand above the tzitz. Zok Rashi el mul pnei ha-menorah el mul ner ha-emtzoi, that you should light all the wicks towards the middle shaft, she'enu bekonim, which is not on the branches, ela beguf shel menorah, it should all face the wick which is on the middle shaft of the menorah. Yo'iru shiva saneros, shall all 7 lamps be facing, shisha she'al shesh sakonim, the 6 which are on the 6 branches, Shloisha ha-mizrachayim, the 3 eastern ones, poinim l'mul ha-emtzoi, should face the middle shaft, hapsil shabahen, their wicks should be tilted in that direction, v'chein shloisha ha-ma'arovayim, and also the 3 western branches, rashi hapsilois, the top of the wicks should face l'mul ha-emtzoi, toward the middle shaft. V'lomo, and what is the reason for this? K'dei shelo yomru, in order that people should not say, la'oira hu tzorach, that Hashem needs the light of the menorah. There is a machlokes in Masechta Menachos in which direction the menorah was placed in the Mishkan. Was it placed in the length of the Mishkan and going from front to back, from east to west? Or was it placed in the width of the Mishkan, going from north to south? Rashi over here, by calling the 3 branches Mizrachayim and Ma'arovayim, the eastern ones and the western ones, seems to be going like the Shita that holds that it was placed from east to west, from front to back. Zok Rashi, Vayas Kein Aharon, and Aaron did so, L'hagit Shvachah Shel Aharon Shelo Shina, to tell you the praise of Aharon that he did not deviate from Hashem's command. V'zeh Maaseh HaMenorah, and this is the workmanship of the menorah. Rashi is bothered by the word V'zeh, She'ro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'etzpa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him with his finger and showed him a fiery menorah, and he said this is the way it should look. Because Moshe had difficulty understanding it. That's why it says Vizet. And we find many other instances where the Pasuk says a Loshen, a language of Zeh, and Rashi tells us that it means that someone is pointing at the object. like we see in Parshas Boy, Peruk Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, it says HaZeh, and Rashi tells us that Hashem pointed at the new moon and said, this is the way it should look when you are Mekadesh the moon. Also, we see in Parshas Beshalach by the Shira, Peruk Tesvav, Pasuk Beis, where the Pasuk says, Zeh Keli Va'anveyu, this is my God and I will glorify him. And Rashi tells us that even a Shivcha Shebayom, even a maidservant at the sea, was able to point to Hashem and say, Zeh Keli, this is my God. Similarly, we find in Parshas Kisisa on the Pasuk Zeh Yitnu by the Machs HaShekel, Hashem pointed to a Matbea Shel Eish, a fiery coin, and said that this weight of a Machs HaShekel you should give. And also in Parshas Shemini, when Moshe was telling Klal Yisrael which animals were kosher and which were not, it says also, Ezeh Toichlu Vezeh Lo Toichlu, pointing to each animal and saying, this you can eat and this you cannot. Zokt Rashi Miksha, it was chiseled out, Batis Belaz. In French, it is Batis. Loshen Dolodon Nakshon is the same as the word Nakshon in Dolodon Nakshon, knocking against each other. Here too, it was knocked out from a piece of gold. Eshes Shel Kikar Zovhoisa. There was a piece of gold weighing a kikar. Umakish Bekornis. And he hit it with a hammer. V'choytech Beksil. And he cut it out with a chisel. Lefashet Evareho Kitikunon. In order to bring out its segments according to the way that they should be formed. It was not made by piecing together many different pieces, but rather chiseled out of one piece. Adirecha ad pircha. Yurecha. What does it mean, Yurecha? Hi ashida. It is the box, sha'al haraglayim, on top of the legs. The menorah had three legs, and on top of these legs there was a box, a base. Cholol, it was hollow. Kederach menorahs kesef shelofnei asarim. Similar to the candelabras, the silver candelabras that were before the noblemen. Adirecha ad pircha. What does it mean from the Yerech until the Perach? Kelomer means to say, Gufa Shel Menorah Kula V'chol HaToliba. The actual menorah and all the ornaments and everything that was secondary to the menorah, all these things were all made of one piece. Ad Yerecha Shehu Eva Gadol. The Yerech, which was a large segment, was made of one piece. Ad Pircha Shu Maisadak. And even the flowers, which were very delicate handiwork, still, they were all made of one piece and not added on afterwards. And the Pasuk means to say, Ad Yerecha Ad Pircha. Not only was the base, which was big and large, made of one piece, but even the flower, which was delicate handiwork, that was also made of one piece. Hakol Miksha, it was all made of one piece. V'derech Ad L'shamesh B'lashon Zeh. At times, we find the word Ad used in this way. Sometimes Ad can mean until, but over here it means not only this, but even this. Kemoi, like we find in the Pasuk in Shoftim, Migodish v'ad koma v'ad kerem zayis. Not only was the Godish, the pile of grain burned, but even the koma, even the standing crop, v'ad kerem zayis, and even the olive orchard. So we see ad means and even. Kemare asher hero. Rashi says kemare means kitavnis, like the form, asher hero bahar, like I showed Moshe in the mountain. Like it says in Parshas Truma, Ure'e and see, Va'ase and do, B'tavnisam, according to their form. So we see that Hashem showed Moshe how it was supposed to look. Kain oses ha-menorah, so he made the menorah. Who is he? Misha saw the one that made it, which was Besal. Umerush ha-goda, Ayidei ha-kodesh baruch hu nasis me'eleho. Through Hashem it was made by itself, because Hashem told Moshe to throw it into the fire. And the Pasuk continues with the Taharas ha-Leviim, the purification of the Leviim, before they started to do the Avodah. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Kachas ha-Leviim, take the Leviim, mitoich b'nei Yisrael, from among the b'nei Yisrael, v'tiharta oisam, and purify them from the tumah of tumas meis, the tumah of becoming tamei to a dead body. And Rashi tells us that whenever the Pasuk uses the terminology kach, concerning a person, it does not mean to take the person, but rather it means to persuade the person. Kachas ha-Leviim, persuade the Leviim to be mitahir themselves, because they are fortunate to merit to be shamoshim, helpers of Hashem. And there is a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban when this purification process took place. According to Rashi, in Parshas Nosai, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Rashi there clearly states that this took place on Zayin Nisan, the seventh day of Nisan. As Rashi says, on the second day of Nisan, Nisrafa HaPara, the Parah Aduma, was burnt. It was sprinkled on the Leviim on the third day of Nisan and on the seventh day, and the Taglachas, the shaving of the Leviim, which will be mentioned in the next Pasuk, also took place on the seventh day of Nisan. However, the Ramban learns that this whole purification process took place in the next month, in the month of Iyar. The Chazon Ish in Siman Kuf Chaf He Sivkat Ches explains that according to the Ramban, we can understand why the Levim needed a purification from Tamei Meis, but the Kahanim who did the Avodah during the Shiva Shemei Hameluim and Amr Shchodesh Nisan did not need this purification process in order to do the Avodah. The Pasuk in Parshas Nosoi, Perik He, Pasuk Beis, tells us the Tzivoy of Hashem, the commandment of Hashem to send the Tmeim, people who were Tamei, out of the Machane. And Rashi tells us that this parasha of Shiluach HaTmeim was one of the 8 parashiyos that were said on the day Shehukam HaMishkan, the day the Mishkan was erected, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Chazon Ish therefore explains that since the parasha of sending a Tamei out of the Machane was not commanded until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, therefore any Tumah that took place before Rosh Chodesh Nisan was not a Tumah that needed a purification of the Parah Adumah. And that is why the Kahanim did not need a purification process to be metahir themselves from Tumas Meis, because they did the Avodah from Chaf Gimel Adar until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Shiva Shimei HaMiluim, and also the 8th day of Miluim, and the Tumah from before Rosh Chodesh Nisan was not a Tumah. So therefore they did not have to purify themselves before they did the Avodah. And during that first week of Nisan, which was the period which the Parah Adumah was being prepared, during that time, they were careful not to be metame themselves to a mace. However, according to Rashi, who says that the Levim's Tahara was on Zion Nisan, the 7th day of Nisan, we have to understand why the Levim needed a Tahara and not the Kaihanim. We can either say that Rashi also learns that the Tumah before Rosh Chodesh Nisan was not a Tumah, and therefore the Kaihanim did not need to purify themselves. But the Levim were metame themselves during that week, like we see Mishael and El Tzofan, the cousins of Aharon, were the ones who took Nadav Aviyu, the dead bodies, out of the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So they became Tamei L'Tumas Meis. And just like they became Tamei, maybe there were others that became Tamei during that week, and therefore the Levim needed a Tahara. Or we can learn a simpler pshat, like the Chizkuni explains, that the Levim were Tamei because they killed the worshippers of the Yegel, like we saw in Parashas Kisisa. According to this pshat, we must say that the Tumah that occurred before Rosh Chodesh Nisan was considered a Tumah, and therefore the Levim needed a purification from that Tumah. However, we must understand why the Kahanim did not also need this purification. Either we can say that they were not Metame Lameis during that period of time, or we can say, like Maskela David explains at the end of Parshas Nosai, that the blood and the oil that was placed on the Kahanim on the 7 days of Miluim were equivalent to the Parah Adumah's purification, because during the 7 days of Miluim they were anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, and also blood was placed on their right ear, right thumb, and right toe. So this blood and this oil were considered at that time equivalent to the purification of the Parah Adumah, and that was metahir them from Tumas Meis, and therefore they did not have to go through the purification that the Levim went through. And the pasuk continues, V'choysa ase Elohim l'taharom, and so you shall do to them to purify them. Hazei aleihem mechatos, sprinkle upon them the waters of purification, referring to the waters of the Parah Adumah, which was the ashes of the Parah Adumah mixed with water. And this water shall be sprinkled upon them to be metahir them from Tumas Meis, from killing the worshippers of the Egel. Ve'aviru sar al kol basarom, and they shall pass a razor over all their flesh. They should cut off the hair of their body. The chibisu v'gdeihem, and they should be toivel their clothing, which means themselves and their clothing, should go in a mikvah. V'hitaharu, and they shall become purified. What was the reason why they had to shave off the hair of their body? Rashi quotes Rav Moshe Hadarshan, who explains like this. He says that the Levim were brought as a korban kapara, a korban of atonement for the Bechorim, who worshipped the Egel. Now, since the Bechorim worshipped the Egel, which is Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah is called Zivchei Mesim, the sacrifices of the dead, so we can look at the Bechorim as if they are dead. And we know a Mitzorah is Choshev Kemes, a Mitzorah is like a dead person, so we can say the Bechorim are like a Mitzorah. And we know as part of the purification process of the Mitzorah, the hair of the Mitzorah was shaven off. Therefore, the Bechorim really needed to shave their hair. But instead of the Bechorim doing it, we do it to the carbon of the Mitzorah, the Levim. V'lokhu par ben bakar, and then they shall take a young bull as a korban oila, u'minchosoi, and with its mincha, soiles, fine flour, belulav hashomen, mixed with oil, u'farsheni ben bakar, and the second young bull, tikach, you shall take lechatos for a korban chatos. They brought a korban oila and also a korban chatos. And Rashi tells us that this was the carbon that if a tzibur, a congregation, worshipped Avodah Zarah, they brought a carbon oila and carbon chatos, like the Pasuk says in Parashat Shelach, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Chav Dalet. And since this is an atonement for the ones who worship the Egel, the Bechirim, so therefore the Levim, their carbon, brought these carbonos to be mechaper for the Oisei HaEgel, the worshippers of the Egel. And Rashi tells us that there was something different about this Parsheni Lechatos. It was a Hayroshah, a ruling of the hour. Because typically when the Tzibur, the congregation, worships Avodah Zarah, they bring a par for an oila and a sa'ir, a goat, for a chatos. Over here, the second animal, the chatos, was not a sa'ir, a goat, but rather a par, a bull. And a second Hayroshah concerning this carbon chatos was, as the Pasuk says, Upar Sheni Tikach Lechatos. Why does it say Sheni? So Rashi tells us, Sheni is coming to tell us that just like the first bull, which was an oila, was completely burnt and not given to the Kohanim to eat, so too, this par sheni, this second bull, was also not eaten by the Kohanim. But rather, what happened was, after they placed the blood on the outer Mizbeach and placed the emurim, different parts, to be burnt on the Mizbeach, the rest of the animal was not given to the Kohanim, but rather it was burnt outside the machane. And this was a hayroshah, that although it was a chatas chitzayna, a chatas whose blood was placed on the outside mizbeach, still the rest of the animal was burnt, because we only find that a chatas pnimi, when the blood is placed on the inside mizbeach, the rest of the animal is burnt. Here it was hayroshah that even a chatas chitzayna, the blood was placed on the outside mizbeach, the rest of the animal was burnt. And we find two other exceptions where a chatas chitzayna was burnt. If you look back in Parshas Tetzaveh, Perik Choftes, Pasuk Yudalid, there we see by the par of the Zayin Yemei Miluim that this par, even though it was a chatas chitzoina, it was completely burnt. And also in Parsha Shmini, by Yom Shmini Limiluim, Perik Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph, by the Egel HaChatos, we find there also that it was a chatas chitzoina that was burnt. So we have a total of three cases that are exceptions and were Hayrasha, a ruling for that hour that a chatas chitzoina should be burnt. V'hikraftos HaLevim Lefnei Oil Moed, and then you shall bring the Levim close before the Oil Moed, v'hikalto es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, and gather together the whole assembly of the b'nei Yisrael. The purpose of gathering Klal Yisrael together was in order that they should do smicha, they should lean their hands upon their carbon, which was the Levim. And just like by all karbonos, where the owner leans his hands upon the animal that he is sacrificing, so too, since the Levim were a carbon kapara for the Bechorim, Klal Yisrael had to come and lean their hands upon the Levim. And there is a question in the Mefarshim exactly who did the smicha. Was it all of Klal Yisrael or only the Bechorim? And the Pasuk continues, V'kraftas HaLevim Lefnei Hashem, and you shall bring the Levim close before Hashem. And the Malbim asks, why do we need this Pasuk if in Pasuk Tes it says, V'kraftas es HaLevim Lefnei Oil Moed? Why the repetition? And he answers, in Pasuk Tes it is telling us that they gathered the Levim outside the Azara. And in Pasuk Yud, it tells us once everybody was gathered, they brought them inside the Azara. And then Klal Yisrael leaned their hands upon the Levim. And then Aaron picked up and waved the Levim before Hashem, Me'es B'nei Yisrael, for the B'nei Yisrael. The Hoyu Lavoid is Avoidat Hashem, and they shall be to do the Avoidah before Hashem. What was the reason why Aharon had to lift up and wave all the Levim? Rashi explains, like we explained before, that the Bechorim were considered like a Mitzorah, and we see in Parashas Mitzorah that the carbon Osham of a Mitzorah must be lifted up and waved when it is alive. So too over here, the Levim, who were considered the carbon of the Bechorim, and since the Bechorim were considered like a Mitzorah, so the Levim were the carbonos of a Mitzorah, and therefore needed Tenufa Mechaim to be lifted up and waved when they were alive. And Rashi tells us that the Pasuk says three times the Lashon of Tenufa, here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, again in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ve'enafta Oysam Tenufa Lashem, and a third time in Pasuk Tesvav, Ve'enafta Oysam Tenufa. And this is referring to the three families of the Levim, the B'nai Kohas, the B'nai Gershon, and the B'nai Merari. And one has to understand that this was a tremendous miracle that was done on that day, that Aaron was able to lift 22,000 Levim in one day. And the Pasuk continues, V'halevim yismichu es yedehem, the Levim will do smicha with their hands, they will lean al rosh haporim, on the heads of the bulls. V'aseh esor echor chatos v'esor echor oilu l'ashem, and make one of them as a korban chatos and one of them as a korban oila for Hashem, lechaper, to atone al halavim for the levim. V'ha'amarta es halavim, and you, Moshe, shall stand the levim lefnei Aaron v'lefnei vonov, before Aaron and his children. V'heinafta oisam tnufa l'Hashem, and you shall wave them a waving to Hashem. Who is the pasuk referring to when it says v'heinafta oisam tnufa l'Hashem? And the Rashbam, and also the Rivash and the Malbum, learn it is referring to Moshe. Because after Aaron lifted and waved the Levim, Moshe did the same. And that's what the pasuk means. Ve'nafta osam tnufa l'Hashem, you Moshe shall also wave them l'Hashem. However, Rashi is clearly mashma that he holds that this is referring to only Aharon. As we mentioned earlier, that Rashi is medayik, why it says three times a lashon of tnufa. And Rashi says it is referring to the three different families of the Levim which Aaron lifted. And this pasuk of Ve'nafta osam tnufa l'Hashem, Rashi says, is referring to Aaron's lifting of the Bnei Gershon. So clearly, Rashi holds that Ve'nafta osam tnufa is referring to Aharon. And also further, if you look in Perik Ches Pasuk Chof, where the pasuk says, Vayas Moshe v'Aharon v'chol adas Bnei Yisrael l'Levim, and Moshe, Aaron, and all the adas Bnei Yisrael did to the Levim. And Rashi says, what did Moshe, Aaron, and the adas Bnei Yisrael do to the Levim? Rashi says, Moshe hemidon, Moshe positioned them, the Aaron hanifam, and Aaron lifted them up. So we see clearly that only Aaron lifted them up and not Moshe. So Ve'hinafta oisam tnufa l'Hashem is referring to Aaron lifting and waving the Bnei Gershon. Ve'hivdalto es halavim, and you shall separate the Levim mitoch Bnei Yisrael from among the Bnei Yisrael. Ve'hoyu li halavim, and the Levim shall be mine. The Rashis that were not explained yet inside will be explained between Sheni and Shalishi.